thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Ho, ho, ho.
Here's John Williams.
All kinds of holiday controversy, but it's not all about that today. Hey, it's John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio. We appreciate you tuning in. I'm here weekdays until 3, and then Ro and Anna stroll in with their team, and you can hear this show on Saturdays from 10 to noon. On social media, look for us as WGN King John.
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God! Santa here? I know him. I know him.
The neighbor's my babe.
Remember, we start the show every day between now and Christmas.
What's in this tray?
With a scene, just a moment sometimes from some holiday movie.
To break the spell.
I'll take your hand.
I ought to say no, no, no.
We're an elf today, aren't we?
At least I'm gonna say that I tried.
What's the sense of hurting my pride?
I really can't stay.
Baby, it's cold outside.
Don't you love that before Zoe Deschanel was the new girl, she was the elf's helper on Elf? That's a funny scene.
I just always forget how funny it is.
Yeah, his visuals, his animation, he's really funny. It's a fun movie. I wasn't prepared to like it. When I saw that thing, I thought it was really good. If there's a scene we should share from a movie or TV show that you like for the holidays, all you've got to do is call or text 312-981-7200, and we'll dig some of them up. We're digging up our Ryan Burrows now, who is over at, City Hall. Hey, Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Not a lot going on here right now. Media members just kind of sitting around outside of Alderman Ed Burke's office trying to figure out what the heck is going on behind that brown paper that's been taped up along the windows and doors. We are told that there is a federal investigation going on, federal agents doing something in there. We don't exactly know what it is. And as well, they're doing it not only at the City Hall office downtown, but also at his aldermanic office on the southwest side. They've got that all taped up as well. So you've got camera crews taped out there or staked out there. As far as the private law firm that he's a part of, it doesn't appear as though that has any involvement that we're aware of. I mean, we can only be in so many places at certain times, but based on the reporting that we've seen so far, it sounds as though it's only at the public offices, not necessarily the private law firm that the federal agents are searching right now.
I think that's interesting this way. We were wondering when we did the Mincing Rascals podcast today, that's our weekly roundtable podcast, we recorded it literally as this news was breaking. We wondered, Ryan, if what the feds are looking into was a function of his public service or his private service, maybe a client he represents, and so they were, you know, grabbing computer files for that reason. But this makes it sound as though it might be more in his performance as an alderman, right?
Well, it seems that way, yes. But obviously these things come in stages. Of course, on the private side, he has had one pretty famous client. Did you guys talk about that at all?
Well, that was part of the speculation. I mean, if we're speaking about the Trump Tower and the tax abatements, then maybe, sure, you would look into the guy that was helping either legislatively or legally make that stuff go. So that would not reflect so badly on Burke, maybe, as a client or an investigation. He just may have information. But
well, it's,
or it could be about Burke himself.
We don't know. I mean,
or it could be about Burke himself.
This is a gentleman who has been very involved in Chicago politics for 50 years, was a Chicago cop before that, obviously chairman of the city council's committee on finance, responsible for everything and anything dealing with the city's finances, bonds, taxes, revenues, also on the Chicago Plan Commission, noted Chicago historian. You know, we don't exactly, he's touched a lot of things. Let's just say that he's got his hands on a lot of things, and we don't exactly know what it is that they're specifically looking at. Now, that being said, not many of us have covered raids before, a handful. I mean, we know that a lot of aldermen have been arrested for various reasons, but, We don't know whether to expect them to walk out of this office with boxes of materials or a single flash drive. We don't know if there will be multiple agents, if they're going to come out the main doors, or if they're going to go out a side door. So that's kind of why we're staked out here. Just any kind of new information we can get, because right now the feds aren't talking to us. Doesn't look like anyone from the alderman's office is talking to us. We did have a brief little conversation with Alderman Howard Brookins Jr., who actually his office is right next to it. So he just kind of got crushed in with all the media while he was trying to get in and out of his office, as he knows nothing, wishes Alderman Burke the best, has no idea what's going on. Yeah. Now, Brookins' chief of staff, actually, Curtis Thompson Jr., was charged back in 2014 with taking a $7,500 bribe to fix an alcohol license application, and Brookins himself was actually punished for not taking proper timesheets on employees. He was fined $5,000, but he hasn't seen anything quite like this before.
Normally, the scene is you see agents going into an apartment or an office or a building, and then they come out. But because this is a glassed area, I guess a passerby could see exactly what they're doing. Hence the brown paper, right?
Well, you know, passerby being a member of the media or someone affiliated with City Hall, I mean, it is tucked away. It's room 304 on the third floor. You've got to kind of know where it is that you're going to see it. It's not as though it's kind of out in the open for everyone. That being said, you know, anyone who caught a whiff that the federal agents were here would not be hard for them to see inside as to what's going on. So they're clearly looking for something. We don't know what that thing is, though. If it's small, if it's big, if it's files, if it's computers, we just don't know.
Okay. Has the FBI said anything about when they're going to announce what they're doing?
No, they haven't. And in these kind of situations, as we've seen in the past, they really don't until some kind of charge is leveled, if a charge is indeed leveled. Probably the closest we've got to that was in Northwest Indiana with the sheriff, John Buncich. I believe that was a year ago, maybe 2 years ago, when the feds raided the sheriff's department. And then in that situation, a little bit more of a rural community, not rural, but, you know, it was a bigger building, and we actually saw the FBI trucks out there. We saw the people, the agents loading up those trucks with various pieces of evidence. I've walked around City Hall here a couple times. No evidence of that right now, but that's not to say that there aren't trucks, you know, waiting, standing by, and as soon as they're all done, they'll swing by and pick up whatever it is they need to pick up. And remember, there are two locations too, with the alderman's office down on the southwest side as well.
Saw Ryan Burrow at City Hall outside, you can tell. Okay, Ryan, jump in if there's anything else you need to pass along. We're all ears, okay?
All right, will do. Take care, guys.
Yeah, there he is. This is another point that we made on the Mincing Rascals. Remember, the Mincing Rascals judged this year the best podcast in the city of Chicago, Mincing Rascals. And we're asking you on the Rascals, by the way, to leave us a voice memo. Tell us something else that you'd like us to talk about, look into. We also do a recommendations part of the podcast where we give you something that we're eating or drinking or watching or listening to. And we say, here's a recommendation. We solicit yours. Mincing Rascals is the podcast.
You can't overstate who this is. I mean, Ed Burke is the dean of the city council. He has been a fixture. You know, David Orr was on with me just an hour or so ago. You go back to the days of council wars, and during the Harold Washington administration, Ed Burke was one of the leaders of the opposition. I mean, he's renowned as a Chicago historian. He has been a fixture in political life in Chicago for, 50 years?
I think that's the problem. That's the point that we discussed on the Rascals. Do you think that there should be a term limit? Not 4 years, not 8 years, maybe, I don't know, 25 years? I just think, and again, we don't know anything.
I want to say. We don't know what's going on here.
Fair enough. So pretend that didn't happen. I would say in a vacuum that nobody should have an office of public trust like that for 50 years or 40 years or 25 years. Stop me when I get to the right number, but I just think absolute power essentially, or great power essentially, corrupts or leads to corruption. It leads to temptations. It leads to too much influence. Even if you are, in fact, clean, you're the best guy in the world. Nobody should have that much power in a public office.
Alderman Burke actually came to talk to my political science class, which was about corruption in Chicago back in at UIC.
A long time ago. That wouldn't have been a long time ago
like,
for you.
Yeah, 4 or 5 years ago, but... Yeah, it was pretty interesting. Well, Professor Dick Simpson was in charge of that, and having him come in was pretty interesting.
Yeah, well, and I think that's great. Listen, he's not a bad guy. And as Ryan alluded to and as Bertrand mentioned, isn't he married to Ann Burke then, Steve?
Yeah, Justice Ann Burke.
Yeah. So, you know, if...
I ran into him in the Costco not too long ago, the two of them.
Well, look, if you're... Switzerland about this, you're rooting for them. You hope that this is nothing terrible and that they haven't betrayed the public trust and that it's all good, that it's a misunderstanding, or they're planning a surprise Christmas party for him and he's going to walk in and they're all going to jump out.
For he's a jolly good fellow.
That's not normally the way the FBI plays these things, but I mean...
What a surprise that would be, though.
I know, but... Yeah, he'd go, really?
Gotcha.
Because... it's your anniversary. There are times where they circle the wagons and you're saying, oh, good. Now they're going to get them. You know, if you see some black SUVs and the FBI going to Paul Manafort's office, you say, OK, fella, well, guess what? That's what you get.
Well, when it's your own.
This isn't that by a long stretch. I don't think the city of Chicago has a predisposition saying, OK, good, finally. You know, if you are Mike Madigan, I'm sorry, Mike Madigan, you have a lot of detractors. Burke is as powerful in the city as Madigan is in the state. But I don't get that vibe from people when we talk about Ed Burke. And so let's all, you know, nobody benefits if something bad is happening here. Let's hope that it is as benign as possible, he said. You got this text message from a friend of ours. This is from Lou Manfredini, Mr. Fix-It. He sent me a text today. It said, John, I was listening to yesterday's show, flying back to Denver, and I busted out laughing at your whole Hallmark Channel conversation. I was in Billings last night, and the hotel had limited channels, so I got stuck watching one of those Christmas movies, and I said to myself, the acting, the writing, and the sets are so bad. But it was like a car crash. I just kept watching.
It's like reading it for the articles. I had limited channels available.
Come on, Lou. You loved it. The ladies are all really pretty. The guys all have swell hair. I got into this conversation with my wife. I said, I think the actors and acting are all as good as the lousy scripts are they're given. But she felt that the women were actually better on that show than the men. That the guys... don't look as strong or even as pretty as the ladies. The star.
They're not the star of the show.
It's always the cute girl.
Yeah. And I mean, she's the lead character in all of these.
Pretty much, yeah. Or she's the spark. She's the sparkle. Speaking of the holidays, two Christmas controversies for us to unpack. First is about the news click. That's next on WGN. John, pick a scene from Die Hard. It's definitely a Christmas movie. John, my wife loves the Christmas movie Prancer. Lemon Drop Kid, Bob Hope, Silver Bells. We asked you to give us a scene from a movie that you want us to feature at the start of the hour on The John Williams Show. That's us here until Christmas. We're doing that. John, you are much quicker to condemn Kavanaugh, but are willing to give Burke the benefit of the doubt. I am willing to give Burke the benefit of the doubt the same way I gave Kavanaugh the benefit of the doubt. There was no doubt. You did not have a bigger champion for Justice Kavanaugh than this guy. I said, his politics may be different than mine, but he's smarter than me, and that's what you want, a smart, honest person to be a Supreme Court justice. I led that parade. Afterwards, everything hit the fan, and yeah, then I was very critical. Not because I know what happened that day in that room at that party, but because I don't. Nobody does. Let's find somebody who can do that job without any question. But I digress. Make Sunday is your official night to tour the city. Watch Chicago's Best at 10. And then stick around for the latest in shopping, entertainment, and events on See Chicago. at 10:30 on WGN-TV. Get Black Friday deals before they're gone at American Sales. Save up to 50% on trees and Christmas decor and more. Trees as low as $79. Choose from hundreds of trees ready to take home, even hard-to-find 9 to 12-foot trees. American Sale has all your lights, your ornaments, your outdoor decor, and so much more with the lowest prices guaranteed. The Black Friday blowout event is going on now. See the store for details. 9 Chicagoland locations. American Sale. Bring the fun home. Here's the news click at WGNradio.com. Actually, yesterday's news click asked you this. The United States helped General Motors. Is it wrong for GM to close those plants? A, yes. They owe it to us to keep them open, 21%. No, it's a business decision, 79%. Here's today's news click, producer Elif.
What do you think of the red Christmas trees in the east colonnade of the White House? A, I like them. B, I don't like them.
Violetta, did you see the blood red Christmas trees?
Yes, and in Serbian tradition as well, everything is red for every religious holiday.
Oh, really?
So Easter, all your Easter eggs are bright red, like blood red. And then all the trees and everything is red for Christmas. It's just the color of Christ, I guess.
Well, I'm so glad you said that. Hokey smokes, that's a measure of context I didn't have. I mean,
like, I've always been, you know, I don't like the color myself so much.
Yeah,
but
well, it's jarring.
It's jarring, for
and
sure.
And it's also, you know, and you may decide it's beautiful. I mean, it is striking, and it's also striking. I mean, you may find it bright and beautiful and rich and cool. It's different. I remember when some families decided to put blue lights on their trees, and there were whole committee meetings. Steve Bertrand, your thoughts?
Well, I mean, these are just some of the trees at the White House, right?
Yeah. Well, it's not the official White House tree, for instance. It's a colonnade. It's a long, you know, walkway along the White House where they
right.
put a bunch of trees.
And pretty red trees.
They're blood red.
Well, blood. Okay, throw out blood. They're bright. Say bright red.
I can't. They're blood red. Every story about this has the blood red trees.
Well, that's because those stories are judging. Now you work on not judging.
I try not to.
That's a judgy term.
That's a judge. Well, it's also an apt, I don't know, bright red to me. Santa Claus's suit is bright red. Santa Claus's blood is blood red.
They're candy cane red.
They are not candy cane red. That's the point. They're more cranberry colored.
Okay.
But that's what they should have said. In a bright cranberry hue, the first family has decided to decorate the East Colonnade with a bunch of trees.
But you could see then how people think that the media is swayed by saying blood red trees in the White House.
Totally. I completely agree with you guys on that.
If you know, I hate doing the if Michelle Obama or Flora Bush had done the same thing, people would make fun of it for this, you know, the same reasons. And
yes.
I don't think they'd say blood red. I think they'd say a bad taste.
Wait,
it's not. I mean, you know what? Looking at this, we have this. It's like a cranberry tree. It's like little berries, right?
Well,
we have a tree like that at our house.
Okay, I'll bet you don't.
Because I do, but it's 2 feet tall. It sits on a table.
But it's not the decorations. Remember, the whole tree, the needles, if you will, the tree is this bright or this rich cranberry red.
And so what is bad about even blood red trees?
Okay, like if we forget the word, but just think about the appearance.
Yeah.
It's not what Christmas looks like in America. It's like you are the first family. You represent America. And that ain't our tree, Jack.
I thought America was about accepting.
Come on, John.
I think that is exactly why there's pushback on it. I mean, and that people just like to dump on the Trumps when they get a chance. But I think,
I mean, I'm looking at a picture at the end of the hallway is then a traditional tree.
Yeah.
I mean,
they don't. The lamestream media doesn't show that one so much.
Well, this is the lamestream media picture, but I mean,
so now the White House isn't white, or excuse me, now the White House isn't American enough in their Christmas decorations. Because
of all people, but I like the fact. You know, I don't know how they would have sort of put this message forward, but it would have been nice if every time I saw that image, it said, you know, in the Serbian-American tradition, the White House unites the First Lady's culture with the American. You know, I mean, that's getting buried, that point, Violetta, if that's really where that comes from.
Well, and I'm speaking about from Serbian tradition. She's Slovenian, but it's still a Slavic.
if that's a color that is more common, if that's a view that's more common in her country or culture, then I think that's...
I don't want immigrants messing up our Christmas.
Right, yeah, and out of all people, Trump should feel the same way.
I have to pause. We'll do the news.
Wall.
And this isn't even the biggest Christmas controversy that we need to unpack today. All coming up. First, Steve, I'm going to you now, not out of a break, Steve, but right now into the WGN Radio Newsroom. Ella just handed me the list of texts. It's several pages deep. I think 36.
Ooh.
Just a little smack, little throwdown.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nah, 36 is the same as 37. The way they count votes these days, that's a win for me. Here's some of your thoughts about the White House Christmas trees, which are displayed in the East Colonnade of the White House. They are a rich red color. And it's upsetting to some people. Maybe not because the trees are rich red, but because of the people who decided to put them there. John, thanks for the cut, by the way, from Elf, the movie. That made me smile. In the scene where they are laying out a storyboard, they say the asparagus children were self-conscious because their pee smelled funny. One lady in the theater and myself were the only ones who laughed at that line, but I laughed for a long time. A couple of you are really happy to hear that scene from Elf.
Remember? I love texts like the one that you just read. So awkward.
Oh, but honest and true. 312-981-7200. Is there a scene in a Christmas movie you want us to share? We might just share it with you. Hi, John. The scene in White Christmas with Danny Kaye and Bing Crosby doing the Haynes sisters number so the sisters can escape through the back window. That is a funny scene. John, don't know if you've discussed this yet, but you must watch The Christmas Chronicles on Netflix. Kurt Russell is so good. Back to the trees now. John, beautiful red berries compose those trees lining the hall and the east colonnade. How creative and inventive. How great that the florist's husband and friends submitted her name for the contest. There's many traditionally decorated trees that adorn the White House for those of that persuasion. Nothing wrong with this. John, the trees are made from cranberries. John, everyone lost their mind when Starbucks went all red. What did Starbucks do? Would they change the cups? Is that what that was?
And saying happy holidays instead of Merry Christmas.
That's what I remember, that they changed the verbiage on this.
And
on
so
cups.
In doing so, though, they went to like red holiday feeling cups.
You know, you're in a...
Blood red, if you
sounds
want.
Sounds silly now, doesn't it? Now that it's something else.
Gary, you're on WGN. Hi, Gary. What do you want to say?
Hey, John, I was just going to say, just be thankful that tree's not gold-plated.
Yeah, no kidding. Last year there was a controversy about the trees and the decorations, too.
What if he was the star on top of the trees? Little pictures of Donald Trump, right?
Thank you
now,
for the
that
call,
would
Gary.
Be a complaint. That's an issue.
That would be real. Suzanne, you're on WGN. Hi, Suzanne.
Hey, John. Can you hear me?
I sure can. You sound great.
Okay, if you go to Drury Lane to see Beauty and the Beast, the lobby has this gorgeous red tree, and it's all red roses.
Oh,
it's very striking and beautiful.
Yeah. So have you seen the picture of the trees in the East Colonnade then?
I saw the picture, but I haven't, no.
So the news click today.
I saw the picture, yes.
Well, that's all you need, yeah. So the question is, A, hey, I like that, or B, I don't like that. Where are you on that?
No, I did like it. I did like it. I just thought it was because they did have other, they showed another section where they had other Christmas things.
Right, yeah. To be fair, when you see that. Hey, Suzanne, very good. Thanks for the phone call.
You're welcome.
Have a good day. You know what, what's really driving this, it's obvious, right? It's not the tree, it's the people. For instance, if you're going to vote on the news click, I don't like that. How did you vote in the presidential election? And if you voted, I do like that. How did you vote in the presidential election? I'll bet there'll be a lot of similarities between those two, right? If you don't like Donald Trump, it'll be very hard for you to say, boy, those are beautiful trees. And I think Steve is right.
But that's the problem.
I know.
You should be able to not like him and to like the trees.
And still like the
or
trees.
Or not judge the trees because of who put them up.
What if you're one of those trees and you're thinking, dang, you know, my luck.
Those trees, little kid trees are sitting there too. They're listening.
I could just see Trump walking by grabbing a cranberry.
Okay, here's the other tree controversy. Old Bridge, New Jersey. There's versions of this in virtually every major American metropolitan area now. A New Jersey family is in a holiday battle with officials over an extravagant Christmas display, one of those that attracts hundreds of tourists every December. For the last 15 years, the Apruzzis have decorated their house with tens of thousands of dazzling lights. It's a Christmas tradition like no other, says Tom Apruzzi. The Christmas holiday is his time to shine. I just love Christmas, he told CBS. But this year, the love is not shared with some of the members of that community. They've taken their fight to the mayor. Some neighbors argue the spectacle creates chaos. We have to make it safe. I don't have a choice, said the mayor. Henry, the mayor, said the Apruzzi's neighbors have safety concerns like heavy foot traffic, minimal street parking, accessibility for first responders if they had to come out. They actually have the streets all blocked off, one visitor said. Apruzzi says that he's paid nearly $150,000 to put these light displays up over the decade. But the price of spreading joy is skyrocketing, and the homeowners are facing fines. The lights don't just hike their electricity bill. City officials said that the Apruzzi family must pay $3,000, a fine, every night that he sets up that light show for visitors. They want me to pay for the police, he said. In fact, let's pick it up here. Hey, Aleph, we have the audio, right, of Mr. Apruzzi and then more commentary and reporting from ABC overnight. Here it is.
They're asking me to pay for the police at approximately $2,000 a night, and they want me to bus people in and out so they don't have to worry so people won't park on the road. And that's totally wrong.
Old Bridge officials say police last year received many complaints about the traffic congestion caused by Apruzzi's display, and the increased crowds and parked cars compromised public safety. The Apruzzis have been putting on their display for 15 years. It includes more than 70,000 lights synchronized to music. Apruzzi says there's never been any problems in years past, but this year he's blaming a couple of neighbors that he says started complaining to the town. And now he says the mayor is playing politics.
This could have been taken care of many months ago. And then they tried to strong arm me in October. Knowing that I wasn't going to have a lot of time to do what I had to do, they tried to do stipulations with this and that and everything else like that.
Still, Apruzzi insists he's not paying a dime for anything. He's hired a lawyer. He knows his rights. And he says this year the show will go on.
Joy and smiles. Mm-hmm. And that's what the Christmas holiday is all about.
And Owen Henry, the mayor of Old Bridge, New Jersey, tells ABC News overnight that, quote, there's a lot of misinformation out there. All we're trying to do is make sure the event is safe.
I love the owner, Mr. Apruzzi. It's just about the joy for the holidays. No, it's not. I'm not sure what to do about that. Boy, if I get to be king, this will be a tough one. You know, do you shut the guy down because the neighbors are like, dude, we're just trying to turn it down already, right? But folks love it. They come from far and near. Have you seen this thing? If you just Google Apruzzi's, New Jersey, Old Bridge, New Jersey's the town. It's a going concern he's got there. I would say I'm actually trying to, you know, put on my king hat here and come up with the most just decision for them. You know, limit the hours. You have to have it off by 9. I would say from 6 to 9. The city says, we got to put cops over there to direct traffic. You got to pay for the cops. And the neighbors don't like it. Boy, this, V, you got any advice for me on this one? What happens in a story like this? Steve, if you were the king for a day, what would you say?
I'm sorry, to what, John?
Yeah, exactly. I would say that...
Are we talking about the lights?
Yeah. Where they, you know, shut down traffic and the city's got to pay extra cops overtime and
right.
All that jazz.
I think we need a transformer to blow.
I think that the guy who says, but this is about spreading joy for the holiday, it's really about you, fella. This is your baby. You want to do this, and it's your thing. Everybody's got a thing. And it's great because folks come to love and see your thing, but I think this is about you being the center of attention, and that's not even necessarily bad if... As a result, you're doing good for the community. So I'm going to say, I'm going to split the child and say that he can do it from 6 to 9 p.m. 6 to 8:30 p.m. That's it. We'll just limit the hours, and the city will have to pick up the tab. The city has to pick up the tab on a number of things. I'm going to let him continue to have his light display. And we'll also limit the weeks, right? So we'll only have it up for 10 days, December 15th to the 25th, something like that. Joe wanted to say something. Hey, Joe, you're on WGN. Hi.
Hi, John. What I was thinking is it kind of sounds like if this guy's been doing this for so many years, the people that are complaining haven't been there that long. So I would kind of say that if the city was allowing it before,
yeah,
you should have like a grandfather clause that he can do it until he doesn't.
You know what you're making me think of, Joe, is people that buy a house near the airport and then complained about the noise, right? The airport was there
exactly.
Before you were.
That's what I mean, yes. So if he's been putting these lights on for all these years, like he says, and now people are starting to complain, I'm going to guess these people didn't live on that block before.
I don't know the answer to that, but I get your point. He's been doing it long enough. They should have fixed this a long time ago. All right,
exactly.
Joe. Hey, thanks for listening. I appreciate your advice. When I get to be king, I'm going to put you in charge of this thing, okay?
Sounds great, John.
All right, Joe. Have a good day.
Have a good Christmas.
Yeah, you too. Have a blood red Christmas, my friend. Hey, are you guys really glad that Pabst Blue Ribbon is going to survive?
Oh, yeah.
I am so happy about this. And in fact, I am willing to do my civic duty and start drinking PBR more often, which I do. I not infrequently will have a 6, a PBR, or 12 somewhere around the house. But
where did I put it?
Well, I mean, sometimes the fridge gets full, so I put it on the porch or, you know, in the
pantry. Such a hipster.
I know. And by the way, that's it. Like, if you're into your microbrews and your IPAs, really, have some Pabst Blue Ribbon. That's got its own kind of reverse cachet.
Well, yeah, and it's cheap, so the kids like it when they go to the bars.
What was your growing up beer? What was that beer that you said,
Bush.
Oh, I drink beer now? It's got to be inexpensive, and it was the one that you first started on.
Yeah, Busch Light.
Red, White, and Blue, Schaefer.
Remember Stroh's Light.
Yeah.
But that's not because you chose to drink that. It was your only option.
It was inexpensive and available, and it was beer.
Yeah, I like beer.
Yeah. I'm just thrilled, and I think that maybe as a Christmas gift, you give somebody a six-pack of Pabst. But the story is that rather than shutting the brand down in 2020, they've come to an agreement, and they're going to keep cranking that macro blonde beer out. And
it only comes in a can, right?
No, I didn't get it a bottle, huh? You get a bottle?
I like the can. I like that it's a bigger can.
They do have the 12-ounce. Violetta.
I feel like
they
that's the only thing I ever see at the bar.
Are the 16 the tall boys?
No, not a tall boy. That's only out of paper bag. This one's like it's a little bit smaller than a paper bag one, but bigger than a regular one.
Well, I don't know about all of that. All I know is that to me is Chicago. Let me just
that and a Schlitz.
Yeah, right. Now that you mention it, well, you know,
I had my first Schlitz at the cheeseburger place. Where can I think of it?
And this was maybe when you were 21 in a day?
Oh, no, yeah, I was 22.
Yeah, well, you know, this feels a little bit to me like the General Motors controversy, or when, you know, Marshall Fields closes a store, you know, when Marshall Fields closed. And everybody said, oh, gee, I feel bad that that's what's happened. But that's the evolution of businesses. So if a department store chain changes, or if a company decides to stop making Chevy Impalas because people don't want to drive Chevy Impalas, you know, that's the way it goes. That's evolution of in the business sector. But yeah, a little bit of you dies because that was you. You know, you went to Marshall Fields and you drove a Chevy Impala. And that's the way I was feeling about PBR. I'm like, hey, that was a beer of my youth, and it's a beer I still like. I wish that was still there. And that it lives, watch this now, a little bit more of me lives. That's how I feel about that.
Yeah, well, acne was a part of my youth, too, but I don't want it around anymore.
Yeah, but you're with me on this one, right?
It was a lousy beer then.
Oh, no, PBR.
What about a Hams?
Yeah.
I like Hams. That's like the new hipster thing, PBR, Hams.
How about Old Style?
Yeah, but you're drinking these things not because they're good, but because there's some cachet to them.
I challenge you, though, this, Steve. And sometimes a beer has a place, right? Like an old style at the ballpark is really a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want a rich, layered, IPA at the ballpark. You want a hot dog and a blonde American beer. No? Am I making any sense to you?
I would never drink an old style. I would wait for a Bud or Bud Light because I just didn't like it that much.
Okay, I guarantee you, mister. We're going to do this. I'm going to get some hams.
Not that a Bud or Bud Light's, a big difference, but old style, just no.
They do taste different, but I'm not sure you would know the difference, and I'm not sure you know how much you would like a Pabst. If I got some Pabst and some old style and some other beers and gave you a blind taste test and asked you to rank them, you will not be able to judge the PBR on the bottom. You think so, Steve?
I don't know. I really don't know.
All right, we're going to do that. Can we do that around here?
What's the rule on that?
Yeah, I think it'll be
fun. I'll do it. But you have to chug it, Steve. One sip's not enough.
Stand by.
Thinking big thoughts so you don't have to.
Actually,
here's John Williams.
I don't think we've gotten around to a big one yet, but you don't always have to be that way. This is John. We're in the Allstate Skyline Studio on social media. Remember, we're WGN King John. Lots going on there. And we appreciate you being with us here till 3. All right. Last couple of texts about the tree.
No one believes that's true.
I'm stunned. In fact, let's just do this real quick. Producer Elif, what is the current voting on today's news clip, please?
A, I like them, 18%. B, I don't like them, 82%.
Mm. Wow.
At WGNRadio.com, we're asking you what you make of the red White House Christmas trees. Because we've done all the other stuff. Oh, come on, John. If Michelle Obama were currently the first lady of the White House, those trees would be admired and adored and imitated. Not on Fox News.
No, yeah, right. They'd be ridiculed and ripped and torn apart, but by the
other side.
The other side, right.
John, I think those trees are stunning. John, last year, the day after Christmas, I got a deal on red Christmas tree lights. I put them on the tree, wondering how they were going to look. They are beautiful. The White House trees, too, are beautiful.
I think they're very pretty.
John, they don't have needles. Steve is right. Those are berries. 630, the photoshopped variations of that tree photo, like the one where the trees have handmaid's tail caps, hilarious.
It is kind of funny, but that's the product of the internet. Everybody gets trolled, but the problem is that we all talk about certain people getting trolled more.
Right, and then we become
we're facilitating
it. Yeah. 708, John, dump the red. This is America. See, that's really, I'm sorry. You know
red,
better than
white,
that.
Red, white, and blue?
I didn't even think of the communist plot.
You know better than that. This is so, a friend of mine who is like insanely liberal was really going after all of the trolls out there that are beating up the Trumps on some other topic. And he said, guys, you don't like it when they do it to us. Don't do it to them. Don't do it to them.
People, we get so angry over Christmas.
I know.
Let's measure this, right?
Oh, totally.
More joy or anger? Well, those lights are wrong, or those cups are incorrect.
Or wait, the White House, or no, the courthouse lawn and the crash. That's right. The annual one. You get that all the time.
Kind of a funny text just came in. 920, hashtag fake trees.
See, now that's just you now being part of the problem.
No, but that's funny.
John, this is where the media really shoots itself in the foot. I wasn't enamored of the red, but I hadn't heard that they were cranberries. When a big negative fuss is let go on instead of giving a big picture, if you just told the whole story, we wouldn't even have this controversy. Oh, yes, we would. But no, I think the media really does show itself here. I think, is this not your point in part, Steve? That
well, you're the one doing it. Right?
Steve didn't have a news story about the blood red trees.
Christmas trees. But I didn't invent the phrase blood red trees. That is an apt description of the color. You could have said cranberry.
Well, they are cranberries, which is the crazy part in this thing.
Well, let's put it this way. What color are cranberries?
Cranberry color.
John, in no way am I a Trump supporter. but they're not my style, but those trees are beautiful. John, it's so ridiculous how mean and nasty people are being over the trees and the way Melania has them decorated. Well, clearly the trees are standing in for the Trumps, and so that's what happens. And they almost should expect that, right? Anything the president does, pardoning the turkey or the Easter egg roll or you know, policy issues, things that matter.
But it's the thing, you know, if you're, and people are saying, well, you know, you got to do it because it's Trump. He would do it to them. If you start behaving by like the people you abhor, you only become them.
Right. I totally agree. So let's all just let those trees be perhaps not your first choice, but there are trees, and let's not ridicule them or the people that put them up.
There should be some little Whos around them because they look like they belong in Whoville.
There'll be plenty of ample opportunity to criticize fairly the administration for things that do matter.
I cannot wait to see the House Democratic tree next year when they're in control.
I guarantee you it's going to be green. And it's going to have white lights or multicolored lights. And Santa Claus is going to come down the chimney. And he'll be greeted by the Christ child. and then good things will happen.
He'll burn himself on a menorah.
Exactly.
And then they'll have a Kwanzaa dinner.
The thing about the ice falling off the buildings, tell me if I'm right about this, is that normally when something bad is happening, V, you know of somebody who got conked on the head by ice. My wife told me somebody got conked on their back by some falling ice.
Yeah, and taken to the hospital.
Normally when something like this is happening, you want to turn and find the bad guy. All right, well, who did this? Who's responsible for this? And I don't think there is nobody. There's nobody to get mad at. There's nobody to sue. There's nothing you can do about it.
I blame the red trees.
This is just the way it is. Some streets are being, you know, blocked off over by the Hancock Building. I don't know if that's the case right now. But
yeah, by the Willis Tower, we have a lot of closures. Now Chicago Avenue is blocked.
What about the Dan Ryan? Wasn't there...
There was on the Kennedy from the Lawrence overpass. There was a closure yesterday.
That was ice falling off the signs,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
yeah. And, you know, you can't.
I mean,
the
then
city
you're
for that.
At least in your car. I would be more scared of getting hit walking.
I have been looking up as I've been walking. I swear to God, I'm going to walk into a bus in the process. So on the top of the buildings, they should have a sign that says, watch out for city buses, because you're going to step right off the curb and into one. But and I don't know if it's this way in Rockford or Peoria or Naperville, but we have a real issue about that in the city of Chicago right now. It's kind of fascinating, too. I don't wish anybody ill, in inconvenience or otherwise. We talked about Pabst closing, and I just want to go back to a couple of your texts about Pabst. And in fact, PBR is going to continue to live. Kevin, you're busy over there in Sportsland, it looks like, but as a hipster, as a young Republican-looking hipster, I was just wondering if you have an opinion about the...
He's in sports. He's never that busy.
Wait, did you say I look like a hipster? I got to reevaluate everything.
A Republican hipster, which is really
strange. Oh, God, even
strange.
Worse.
That's the blending of America. He's a Republican hipster.
Am I sad about PBR going away?
Well, coming back. I mean, are you?
Oh, it's coming
away.
Are
you psyched that Pabst is not going to leave us? And I am.
Sure. Yeah. I drank it for a while.
Anybody that knows Kevin knows he drinks
Miller Lite, spelled different because it's brewed different, folks.
That's what somebody told us. They said, hey, by the way, the recipe, PBR, is not now the original recipe. Wow, I'm unaware of that. John, my beer that I learned to drink, you know, everybody had a training beer, is Old Style. John, my mom's Meisterbrau and Blatz. Blatz doesn't even sound good. That's like Schmuckers. You want to eat Schmuckers or drink Blatz? Blatz was a starter beer for a lot of us. Schlitz. Miller High Life in a pinner bottle is the best. Still stands the test of time. I get that. I think the way the vehicle you use to drink your beer, frosted mug, can, tall boy, fat bottle, tall, thin bottle, I think that really matters. Doesn't that alter your experience when you're drinking a beer?
But who's going to take a PBR and put in a frosted pint glass?
That's not going to do any good. Like, that's just an insult to the glass. That's well, not why the glass sat all day
in the
freezer.
And the PBR is like $3. Like, it just doesn't seem like you would do that.
Hey, John, I was born and raised on PBR, my dad's drink of choice. There is a certain sort of nostalgia about it, right? King John, my dad was a big PBR guy. He talked about how that was the best beer so much. When I was a kid 40 years ago, his buddies finally gave him the taste test that you're talking about with Steve Bertrand, and my dad couldn't tell the difference between that and another beer. LOL. Yeah, I suppose that's...
I just still can't get over you calling me a hipster, John. I'm really stung.
I thought I was doing you a solid there, friend.
A solid?
I thought that was... that's right. Well,
everything I do in my life is to avoid being associated with hipsters and millennials.
Yeah, and you know what? I used the wrong word. You're absolutely
it's
right.
It's okay. I'll get over it. I'm over it. We'll share a PBR together, John.
I didn't mean hipster. I meant you're kind of a hip, cool guy.
Oh, okay. Cool.
You're not a skinny jean hipster. You're, you're a cool guy.
No skinny jeans for me.
Jim, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, champ?
I think, Jim, if the news click was, are you glad that there's still going to be PBR, that would get 100% yes. Don't you think so?
It's in my fridge right now. and before that, it was Hams, because Miller Lite skyrockets their prices now and then. You can get a 30-pack of Pabst or Hams for $5 less than a 24-pack of Miller Lite.
Yeah.
You know, everything was cheaper back in the day, but really, we could get I swear to God, I was buying in the late 70s in Carbondale, Illinois, a 12-pack maybe of Schaefer for $2.
Wow.
And,
hey, John, the reason why I called is that last July, the Tribune did a blind taste test with three brewmasters in Chicago. Blind taste test of domestic, non-craft beers. And just the top five, got to take your time up. Number one was Hams. Number two was Miller Lite. Number three was Pabst. I hope you're sitting for number four, Keystone Light.
Oh, jeez.
Wow.
And number five was Old Style. So three of the top five are the beers that you guys are talking about.
Yeah.
Hams, Pabst, and Old Style.
If I had to go to a beer that was just like solid American Midwest beer, I would probably say Old Style. But all of those work. Hams, PBR, man.
But
there is absolutely nothing wrong with Hams and Pabst.
Hey,
nothing.
Listen, if we're going to fight to save General Motors, we need to fight to save these beers.
I completely agree with you. And I would also say this, that, look, I like certain craft beers, but some craft beer sucks.
Totally
and it's not good. And
totally
people just
agree.
Try to convince themselves that it's good because the guy said, this is a small batch, handcrafted craft beer. I'm like, cool, man. It's horrible. Can I wash it down with a Miller High Life?
Just a hint of grapefruit.
Right?
Like, get out of here.
There are certain craft beers that you have that are outstanding, that are delicious. You
craft
can
beers, to me, are just the flavors are so overwhelming.
Some of them are. Right.
They're just overwhelming. I just don't like the taste of any of them.
Well, that whole Dilly Dilly campaign is so perfect for this, right? The Dilly Dilly ads, I think, are hilarious. I don't think I've seen a bad one of those. And it makes you go, give me a macro brew. Give me a big old giant American-made beer. All right.
There you go.
Thanks
for
coming,
man.
Yep, you have a good day.
Plus,
what do you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon. What do you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
When a waitress glides up to your place with a pretty smile upon her face, here's the way to really romance her. Give her that Pabst Blue Ribbon answer.
What do you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
What do you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
What do you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
Smoother, smoother, smoother flavor. Zest and sparkle, million flavors. Taste that smoother, smoother flavor.
Pabst Blue Ribbon beer.
Finest beer served anywhere. Prove it yourself. Make the three-way experts test. One, see the clear color. Look at the creamy head. Two, sniff that fragrant Blue Ribbon blend. Three, taste the flavor the whole world knows. And you'll agree, finest beer served anywhere.
What do you have?
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
That commercial was longer than some of the shows that it could run on now.
Certainly longer than one of those beers would last. When I was in high school, I may have hidden a six-pack of, I don't know if it was Old Style, I think it was Old Style,
yeah,
in my neighbor's bushes.
Oh, gosh.
Through a thaw, freeze, thaw period.
Right.
And when I finally got to them, it was lumpy inside.
Yeah.
And I couldn't finish a can of beer for years after that.
What do you mean you couldn't finish it?
Is at the bottom where those lumps, and it was.
Oh, so you're drinking
head.
The stuff, and there was something on the bottom?
Yeah,
lumps of I don't know,
fermented something.
Just
croissant,
chew it.
Croissanting stuff.
Just chew it. Yeah, yeah. Maybe it was the double croissanting or something.
I know what you mean, though. Somebody told me that once they could never eat mozzarella sticks again because they ordered mozz sticks, and then when they bit into it, the cheese in the middle
was hard.
Was like hard. Yeah, so I know what you mean. Like you get scarred from something
that,
gross.
Though.
Yeah.
My son and I saw. What was the movie that taught us all about how terrible fast food is from a few years ago?
Oh, Super Size Me.
Yeah.
Or Super Size.
And after that, Griff did not eat any fast food for a year. If you want to scare straight somebody off of fast food, go watch Super Size Me.
It did the opposite effect for me. I literally was craving a cheeseburger.
That's like people watching Mad Men. They're like, I need a drink right now.
Yeah, I started smoking after the second season.
It kind of gets...
It looks
the whole
I
thing.
Never lit the cigarette, but like, I still just held
that
it.
That scotch cigarette combo looks delicious right now, even though I don't like either one of them.
Yeah, for lunch. Tom, you're on WGN. Hello.
Hi, John.
Hey.
Yeah, I was just saying, about 30, 35 years ago on a hot summer day, we went up to Milwaukee, went to the Pabst Blue Ribbon Brewery up there, took the tour. At the end of the tour, they give you a free beer, a couple glasses if you want. And to this day, that's the best beer I've ever had. It was so fresh and creamy, like your commercial just said for Pabst. And that's all I got to say.
Thank you for the call.
I went to school at Marquette, not too far from there, with this guy named Haas. And every Friday, he would go to the Pabst Brewery Tour and take a tour so that he could drink all he wanted at the end of the day. I was on a tour with him at one point where he would stand behind the guide and mouth the words as she would give the tour.
I want to hang out with Haas.
I went on a Steve Bertrand tour to Ireland, and we went to the Guinness.
Oh, that's a great place.
Plant in, where were
Dublin.
We? Dublin. And you drink the Guinness straight from the vats there. And I persuaded myself that it tasted better and different than it does when I get it here in America.
You say it does. You know, Guinness is actually lower, I think, in calorie.
And alcohol,
and
too.
Definitely lower in alcohol than a typical beer. You think of it as being a heavier, more alcoholic beer.
It's not my favorite beer by any stretch. I don't even like that kind of beer. But I'll keep some Guinness in the fridge because if I don't want to have the alcohol or much and I want to have a beer or two, you can drink a couple of Guinness and you're fine. You know, at least I am, right? I'll bet the alcohol content of that is a third off of maybe some of the other ones. Like, what's the ABV on some of those IPAs? It's like 7, 8, 9%. Am I reading that right?
Yeah.
Well, that's
Guinness,
pretty high, but once
yeah,
you get to
be
9%,
that high.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's the other stuff.
I mean, Budweiser's 5. I feel like once you kind of start getting over 5, you're drinking some heavier stuff. Miller Lights and stuff like that are like 4.
Drink
those all day.
What? John Grainbelt. Yeah. Red, white, and blue. I'm telling you, I think if you just want to strip it down to, okay, here's what we did. We got some corn. It's beer. We don't care. Red, white, and blue.
Red, white, and blue, 50 cents at the Avalanche Bar on Wednesday nights. That's what led to the naked beer slides down up there.
What?
John used to get the Stroh's 30-pack. How about that? PBR, Old Style, and Hams are pretty much all the same beer. They're not, though, right? I get your point, but those are different brews, correct? We have to do a taste test. We've got to get
yes.
a Hams, an Old Style, a PBR. I don't know. I wouldn't put Budweiser in there. Maybe a Schlitz.
To me, the Hams and the Schlitz, like the old school ones, are a little bit sweeter. They're not as bubbly or carbonated as like a Miller Lite or a Bud Light.
Yeah, to me those Miller Lite and Bud Light, and
it's
Lord
like sparkling
knows,
water to me.
A Michelob, much more sophisticated. When I was growing up,
I love Michelob Ultra.
A Michelob was like, oh, now that would be like a fancy,
yeah,
you know, IPA.
If you couldn't get a Löwenbräu.
Well, also Michelob kind of is like known as a girl beer.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah, and like, you know, a 50-plus girl beer. And so, like, my friends are like, what are you doing? I'm like, I love Michelob Ultra.
Wow, V, judge much? I mean, here we were talking yesterday about whether or not some of us look like Republicans or Democrats.
If you see a table of 50-year-old women out, six of them, they're all drinking Michelob Ultra, for sure.
I hope I know you when you get older.
What? I like Michelob Ultra now, too.
I don't think she's saying that's a bad thing.
No.
It's 227. Okay, Steve's going to do the news. Hey, by the way, speaking of drinking a lot of beer, the Salvation Army has a guest that's going to come through our studio, so let's not do any of this beer talk after the news. The digital kettle that I have at WGNradio.com is our way to try and reach our goal of $30,000. I hope that's your goal, too. We want you to be able to make a contribution if you can. I'll tell you how after the news, and I'll tell you a heartwarming story about how the Army helps. This is John Williams. It's 2:37. Remember, we do a daily web poll question called The News Click. It's at WGNradio.com. We also post it on my Facebook page. I'm WGN King John on Facebook. We'll also put up there a little later on today our podcast, The Mincing Rascals, judged this year to be the best podcast in Chicago. And it is pretty good. The guys had a lot to chew on, and we got at it on a variety of topics. And we want you to be part of it, all of those details. Wherever you subscribe to find our podcast, it's free. You can listen to it on our webpage. But all of that is at WGN King John. On Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. Theo Coleman is in our studio, and he has a Salvation Army uniform on. Theo, welcome to the show. How are you?
I'm good, John. Thank you, man. Thank
What's your rank in the Army?
I am a soldier in the Army. That's my church.
Everybody that wears a uniform, though, is an ordained minister in the Army. Is that true?
The officers are.
But you're not an officer.
No.
I see. So do you work for the Salvation Army?
I do. I'm the Corps Ministries Director on 69th Street in Inglewood at the Salvation Army Adele and Robert Stern Red Shield Center.
I know the Red Shield Center. We were talking about this off the air, but I didn't have anything to do with it except I was there for its groundbreaking and championed it. And the Wentworth Grade School, which was across the street, we used to interview the principal of that school all the time. She was fighting a good fight. And I used to work with one of the volunteers for the Army. And we would, a few times a year, do a sort of a book party for the teachers. All the books we get here at the radio station, we'd put them in boxes, save them all year long, and then go down there and bring donuts and coffee and books for the faculty and staff at the school. Wow. They loved it because that part of Englewood's kind of Forgottonia for a lot of folks.
Yeah.
And they appreciated that somebody knew that they were still there. That school is closed now, right?
Yeah, it is. Yeah, about 3 years.
Which sort of puts the emphasis then on the Red Shield Center in Englewood. It's even greater for you all to do what you do over there. Am I right?
You are, John. The mission is really strong. It's a lot of gang factions in that area, and we're just wanting to encourage the kids to go another route.
How you doing on that?
Not bad. We've got a few programs at the center there. One program in particular is Wednesday night. It's called CLL, Celebrate Launch and Landing. And it kind of culminates in teaching the kids to celebrate the launching of their life and also have mentors to help them land, hopefully in good direction and successfully. We start out with the kids. At the beginning, we'll have like praise and worship time and a short devotional, like 10, 15 minutes, audio visual, talking about things that's going on in the community.
How old are the kids that are watching this?
I would say about between 7 and 19.
Oh, really? You get young teenagers and teenagers?
Oh, yeah. And we have about 7 mentors. And after we have the devotional or discussion, we'll separate into groups and talk about what's going on in their lives.
What other services do you do at the Red Shield?
Oh, wow. I am the worship leader. I play piano. I'm also the driver for bell ringing season.
Do you do food services? You don't provide shelter for people there, right?
We provide no shelter. That's mainly ARCs or other places, other Salvation Army. We do food pantry there on Wednesdays and Thursdays.
Do you have a recreational facility there?
We do. Man, the Red Shield Center, we have a giant basketball court, also workout facilities upstairs, and a full track, full-size track.
That's at Red Shield?
Yes.
Because I'm thinking also in my head right now of what you have at Croc, but that's way further south. But you have this for the people, for the community in Englewood. Think about that. I mean, people are afraid to drive through Englewood, let alone devote their lives and provide services to people, a gym, a treadmill for you to exercise on, a place to safely get groceries, a place where the kids can go and sing and not only have good values, but do anything safely.
Yeah.
The Salvation, you know, it's funny. Everybody else runs away. Target wants to leave some neighborhoods, blah, blah, blah. The school we described closed.
Yeah.
People still live there. Yeah. People still live there. And if we all throw up our hands and say, well, boy, these people, what are we going to do? Nothing's going to get better if somebody doesn't stay and help. Salvation Army never leaves. That's where the Salvation Army goes, for crying out loud. So how can you not make a donation to somebody who says, we're just trying to do the most good whenever we do something? And that's you guys. You have an interesting personal story relative to the Army, too.
Yeah, I do, John. I've got to say this. I almost relapsed on that Pap Blue Ribbon commercial,
I shouldn't have been talking about the beer stuff. We were doing this. All of us beer drinkers going, oh, isn't that a great beer? Were you a drug addict or an alcoholic?
I was both. I was alcoholic and drug addict for 13 years.
At what age did you start?
I started at 23.
That late.
And it's so weird. I went to a Christian school, private school, and when I got into college, man, I went crazy.
So this wasn't a kid who was born in a bad, tough neighborhood who never had a rudder. It sounded like you were doing okay?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Was doing pretty good.
Do you have a mom and dad at home?
Just the mother.
Yeah.
And very grateful for her. Beautiful lady.
What happened at school?
You know, I think maybe the sheltered life, once I got a chance to kind of spread my wings and do what I wanted to do, I just did it too much, I guess. That's what was going on with me.
When did you realize you had a problem?
It may have been about, I think in 95, maybe.
How old would you be then?
I think I was about 30.
Really?
Yeah, 34.
So you've been doing that. What were you on at the time? Was it cocaine?
Yeah. Yeah, I went from alcohol to smoking weed, and then I think I maybe snorted cocaine, and then right away went to smoking crack, man. It was crazy.
What happened to your family or personal life as a result of all that?
It was terrible. I lost wives, houses, cars. A lot of the trust of my family members was just gone. They loved me. They wanted me to succeed, but the trust level was gone.
Were you able to keep a job?
No, not at all, man.
So then where are you living at the rock bottom?
I lived 2 years homeless. So I had 13 years alcohol and drug addiction. And two of those years I was homeless on the streets of Indianapolis, Indiana. And man, it was terrible, John. I tell you, when you talk about what the Salvation Army does, truly, they reached out and helped me when I didn't have anything. I didn't have insurance to go into a program. I didn't have money, and then I didn't have any options.
When somebody's going through that, do they appreciate what they're doing to themselves?
It depends. It depends on the stage that they're at in addiction.
Are they like, were you like, okay, I know this is as bad as it gets, but I got to handle it. I'll get this. I'll fix this. I'll get myself together.
That's how it starts. That's exactly how I felt when I started using drugs and alcohol.
But that was the descent. The whole way down, you knew. You knew it was bad, and you think, okay, I know this is a detour, but I got this.
Yeah.
And you didn't got this.
No, until it gets a hold of you, I think. I thought that, and then once it got a hold of me, I had lost so much over this stuff that it felt like just a reflex. That
did
it was
you not
something.
Feel like yourself anymore then? Because that doesn't, it sounds like two different people, doesn't it?
Oh, yeah. And it was. Man, I it was like a whole nother life.
How did you come to the Salvation Army then? What happened?
Well, I was on the streets of Indianapolis, and I had been up for maybe three or four days in around 16th Street in Indianapolis. And a friend of mine, Envoy Stephen McNary, that I had met in Indianapolis, was running the Salvation Army Adult Rehabilitation Center in Gary, Indiana. he had heard how bad I was doing, told some people, hey, if you see him, give him my number, and I'll get him to the center in Gary and help him get himself together and help him find a job. I wasn't thinking about that at all. I just had his number in my pocket. I was walking down 16th Street, and my feet were blistered. I was really doing bad, but I was just looking for my next high. That's all, because once I got the high, I felt like I was okay and I could make it, you know, for a little bit. I went into a McDonald's that normally the lady puts me off the lot for panhandling or trespassing or, you know, anything. And it was so weird. I went in and went to the register, and she was working the register. And I gave her the number to call for me to get some help. And she just pointed to the back of the restaurant for me to go sit down. And it was about 8 in the morning that morning. And I sat there in the McDonald's till about 8 that evening. She called and she came back and she said, they have a bus ticket ready for you to Gary, Indiana. Hmm. And I was very grateful. She said, can you get there? And I said, I'll try. You know, I've got blisters on my feet. There was a mailman on the side of us sitting, eating his food. And he walked over and said, I'll take him. And I rode to the bus station in a mail truck to Gary, Indiana. It'll be 11 years in December, December 22nd.
How hard was it when you were with the Army to, I mean, the shelter's one thing, but you had to quit the drugs. How hard was that? And the Army is one of the leading drug and alcohol rehabilitation providers in the country.
Oh, yeah.
So were you in an Army program then?
I was. Adult Rehabilitation Center in Gary, Indiana, right there on 11th Street.
How long were you in there?
A year. And then I started working in the thrift stores. It was hard. It wasn't easy. But the process that you go through in recovery is never easy. But for some reason, I was ready.
Yeah.
And I started building a support group. I started getting mentors, and started serving people. I started, you know, praying. I started changing, and just. You know, the old saying, one day at a time. You know, a lot of times for me, it was like 1 minute at a time, because, man, I had it bad, man. You know, it was like, you know, I had to learn, almost like learning how to walk again, you know.
It sounds like there were a lot of little angels at the right time, at the right place
yes,
for you. And I don't mean to praise the Salvation Army too much, because none of this, it sounds like, happens, but that you decided you were going to fix yourself. Mm-hmm. But doggone it, where would you be without the Salvation Army today?
Man, I can't even imagine.
And where would those other people be? The Red Shield Center, just where would those people be if they didn't have that? Where would the people be who are getting their lives in order because there's a Salvation Army out
yes.
there? And, you know, we say this all the time. Everybody knows it, but I'm going to say it again. The Army does these services every day, every hour of the year. They remind you that they need your help between Thanksgiving and Christmas. We have a kettle online. If this man's story, Theo Coleman, who is doing it in Inglewood, for God's sakes,
yes.
if this man's story motivates you, then go online and make a donation to our kettle. Because we're not asking you to go to... We're not saying go to Inglewood tonight and hang out there. We're just saying, let's help the people that are. And if you go to WGNradio.com on the John Williams page... There's the link right there. You'll see my producer, Elif, and me. You can click on that, and it takes you right to our virtual kettle. Our goal is $30,000 for my kettle this year. We are nowhere near that number, but we've just started. So if you can make a donation, not for me, not for WGN, not even for Theo, but for the people Theo's working for, I think that would be a wise investment of your charitable dollars.
Oh, yeah. John, thank you, man. You're amazing, man. Thank you for the work you're doing.
I haven't done anything. I'm just standing here. Theo, you're doing the work. There's other ways to get to that link, that website, but maybe that would be the easiest way as a WGN listener. WGNradio.com, John Williams page. Let's go look at that number in a few minutes and see if the needle's moved, because I think we can move it. God bless you, sir. Keep doing the work
bless
you're doing.
You.
We'll see you for the holidays. 708 says, hey, John, I'm driving in the suburbs. My van just got hit by a chunk of icy snow off a power line or tree branch. There's just a lot of that out there. That was, how long have you lived in the Chicago area? You've seen every kind of snow and sleet and all of that. But whatever happened between Thanksgiving and today really did a number on the buildings and the signs. By now, Illinois residents are largely familiar with the enforcement actions against Sterigenics International's Willowbrook facility. Both federal and state authorities have determined they're emitting significant amounts of cancer-causing ethylene oxide gas. Now, a recent investigation by the Tribune found that the two Lake County facilities are also releasing the same cancer-causing gas, Medline Industries in Waukegan, and Vantage Specialty Chemicals in Gurnee. Attorneys at the GWC law firm are currently investigating on behalf of people who live or work near these facilities. They're in Waukegan. They're in Gurnee. If you live or work near the Medline Industries in either of those locations and have been diagnosed with, or Specialty Chemicals in Gurnee, those are the two companies, two locations, and have been diagnosed with cancer that may be linked to carcinogenic gas ethylene oxide, contact GWC immediately. They've got a proven track record of success against environmental polluters. GWC can help those who may have developed cancer caused by exposure to these gases. Schedule your free consultation now. Obtain the justice you deserve. Call 312-999-9999, 312, and then just start dialing 9, and they will get to you, or visit justicestartstoday.com. Thanks, too, to our guest just a moment ago, Theo Coleman from the Salvation Army. I think it takes a lot of courage and something to be willing to tell a story that is that personal and at times painful for the good of everybody else. Again, WGNradio.com on the John Williams page, and you can make your donation there.
Oh, and we just in the last minute, we went from 1368 to 1422.
1368 to 1422, meaning we almost raised $60, which is nice, but frankly, wait, 1368 to 1462?
No, 1422.
All right, 1368 to 1422. Yeah, so $60.
Yeah.
That's not enough. Come on now.
Well, I'm going to donate after the show.
That's not enough. That's not enough. So this happens every year. I know what people do. They wait. They wait. I don't know what they're waiting for. Maybe you are listening now, not near a browser. Fair enough. But if you can, please remember, WGNradio.com. Remember Theo's story. Remember the people in Englewood and on the south side and west side and downtown and, frankly, north side. You know, some of the most compelling stories that I have heard as a person who works with or watches the Salvation Army do what they do are well-heeled people on the north side and downtown and in the suburbs whose lives always weren't so rosy. But when they needed a bag of groceries or some rent assistance or a Christmas toy because mom or dad were out of work or out of the picture, the Salvation Army came up, and those people have been the beneficiaries, too. All right, do we take a break here? Do we have one more break? Yeah. All right, Ro and Anna, right around the corner. Anna DeVlantis, what's going on in Studio
A? Hey,
A?
John. My, the feds have been awfully busy, haven't they? You know, no sooner did that bombshell drop in Washington than we heard about Alderman Burke's office being raided today. They put the brown paper up on the doors, and all the reporters are waiting outside. I guess we do have a statement from Burke. We'll talk about.
Oh, no kidding.
That he's
what's he saying?
Well, he's basically saying, you know, I've been under investigation before, I've cooperated before, and I will cooperate with this investigation. So, sort of nothing to see here. A lot of people wondering, does it have anything to do with him representing Trump businesses for 12 years? We're going to talk to Renato Mariotti about that, former federal prosecutor. Also, Mike Monaco, the legal analyst for the show, and we're going to take a look at what's happening with Cohen and also with Burke, in addition to Ben Bradley catching us up on some local news here for WGN-TV.
If you walked into a room and there was a jar of cookies there and the cookies were gone and three people were in the room, Manafort, Cohen, and Trump,
oh,
and you had to figure out who took the cookies, do you think you would ever be able to find out who took the cookies?
I think every single one of them would lie about it. That's what I've learned.
That's right. They'd say, no, the other two, there were never cookies. I mean, it would just
there'd be some awfully good lies crafted.
Oh, my gosh. All right. Well, I'll be listening.